if we need to, we can maybe shift that agenda item around if he's not quite on yet, but he's a little ways down on the agenda. So, okay. All right. So whenever you're ready, hit record and we'll...
We are recording.
All right. Already. Well, wonderful. Then let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. Thanks everyone for being here. I'm Evan Curtis. I'm with the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget and chair of this board. Let's go ahead and start with our introductions. Let's go ahead and just go right on the list that we have on the agenda for the board members first, and then we'll go to the others who are online. So Ron, we'll go to you.
Yeah, Ron Lofsoft, I'm with the Ute Indian Tribe, and I've been on this board since day one, helped get it started, so I'm here.
Wonderful, thanks for being here. All right, and then Edred?
Yeah, I'm here, present.
Wonderful, thank you. Thanks for being here. Commissioner Horrocks?
Yes, I'm here. I also have on our meeting as my road department supervisor is Scott Hardman, and our, in case we have any questions, and then we have our grants lady that's over the grants is Jeannie Bird, and she's also on the phone calls with us here, so want to welcome them here and just recognize that.
Great, thanks so much, and glad to have them with us. All right, and Commissioner Miles?
Yeah, Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commission.
All right, great, thanks. Then I'll just go with who I've got in order on my screen. So we'll start with Stacy.
Stacy Ripple, I'm the admin for Housing and Community Development.
All right, and Paul?
Paul Moberly, fund manager, Housing and Community Development.
All right, thank you. And Sarah, Sarah Smith?
I'm Sarah Smith. I'm over the contracts. Happy to be here. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for being here. Jennifer?
Jennifer Domenici, Assistant Director in the Housing and Community Development Division.
Great. Thanks for being here. Chris, thanks for joining.
Yeah, Chris Piper, Utah Attorney General's Office.
Appreciate you being here and look forward to hearing from you a little bit later on the agenda. Carver.
Carver Black. I'm a financial manager here at the state and I'm over the revitalization funds.
Great. Scott? Scott Hardman?
Yes.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry. I just barely had audio. Just heard you. Yes, I'm Scott Hardman with the Yuna County Road Department.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks for being here. Let's see, Carver.
We got him.
Oh, we got you. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Look familiar. You shifted down in my on my list, though. All right, Lori.
Lori Bowman, Uinta Basin Association of Governments.
Thanks for being here. And then Jenny.
Good to see you, Evan.
Yeah. Good to see you, and Jenny Bird. Jenny, I don't know if you were trying to speak. We couldn't hear you if you were, but thanks for being here. Looks like you're with Uinta County, so appreciate you being here. All right, well, we'll move on then to approving the minutes of October 27th, 2022. Hopefully everyone's had a chance to look through those. I looked through those, did not see any issues. Paul, thanks so much for putting those together. Any questions on the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I think those minutes are a fair reflection of the meeting, and I would move approval.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd make the motion, second the motion.
All right, wonderful. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion to those motion, to that motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All right, any opposed? Wonderful. All right, thank you. All right, moving on to agenda item number three, the fund report. Paul, I'll turn that over to you.
Yep. Okay, so the fund report as of yesterday, yes, it was yesterday. The uncommitted balances for each of the entities, the Ute Tribe has $3,578,764. Uinta County has $3,266,025. Duchesne County has $2,650,905.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. Any questions on the fund report? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item number four, board business. And we'll start with our annual board training. As many of you are aware, this is a public body, and as such, we have certain statutory requirements that we are under. And so we really appreciate Chris Piper with the Attorney General's Office being here to walk us through some of the things we need to be aware of to make sure we stay out of trouble. So, Chris, I will go ahead and turn it over to you.
Chris, do you want to share? Can you share?
My computer decided to stop working. And so, Paul, do you have the PowerPoint I sent you? Would you be willing to pull it up for me?
Yeah, let me pull that up.
Or alternatively, in about 30 seconds, I can sign into Zoom on my computer.
Okay, I can just pull it up for a second.
All right. So hopefully I'll be able to see here on the phone, my tiny phone screen. But I've done this enough, so not too worried about it. No, thank you, Evan. I sensed in your comments just something of a wry smile, because you've been through this training now. This is your third time in the last 3 weeks, I think. So I'm so sorry. But the rest of you, I don't know, some of you may have be in Evan's shoes where you've been through it many, many times, but others of you maybe don't have a familiarity with OPMA. So I'll try to be brief. Evan, what in terms of time frame, you know, where do we stand?
I think we should have plenty of time, so don't feel like you need to be rushed.
All right, I keep it below 15 minutes, and if you know there are questions or comments, or we can adapt and keep it within that time frame. So don't hesitate, anyone, to jump right in. I'm just pulling it up on my end so I can see a little clearer the presentation. But as you know, the Open and Public Meetings Act, shorten to OPMA, is a sunshine law. So it fits in the same category as, you know, at the federal level, we have the Freedom of Information Act, where you can receive records of government, you know, government records. And the premise and the comparable act in the state is GRAMA. OPMA is another Sunshine Act. And the premise behind all of the Sunshine Acts is the idea that, look, governments cannot function but for taxpayer dollars. And so if there are taxpayer dollars, that's public funds. It's, you know, in some way, we are all supporting the activities of government. And so we, or the public, have a right to know what's happening with our dollars. And so OPMA specifically applies to meetings and imposes certain requirements. And we'll go through some of those. So let's go to the next slide. And I should say before I jump into this, some of you, you've all been elected, or you're elected officials, either with the U Tribe or with the county. Those are local positions, but in your capacity as a board member for the Uinta Basin Revitalization Fund, you are actually, this has converted your status as, and you are serving as state officials. It's a state level board. And so I would also just remind you or kind of direct your attention to the handbook, board handbook, the state handbook on boards and commissions. It's comes from the governor's office. His legal counsel puts it together, and it's really helpful. So if any of you are feeling like you would like more resources, it's an excellent handbook. It applies 100% to you for this particular board. It goes over ethics and, you know, disclosures associated with ethics. It goes over GRAMA obligations, as well as OPMA obligations, as well as just general rules of order. So that's a helpful resource if you want to dive deeper in any of these areas. Critically for OPMA, it defines public body. It only applies to public bodies. And so suffice it to say, UBRF, this board is a public body. So we'll skip to the next slide. Importantly, it defines meeting, which is a public body where a quorum is present. It's important to recognize that if there is a quorum present, and there's discussion of items over which the body has authority, that constitutes a public meeting. So if they're that could happen in a variety of settings. And it's important to be aware that the requirements of OPMA are triggered when there is a quorum. Now, for the UBRF, Paul, jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe a quorum is 4 out of the 5 of you. So if you ever find yourselves in a room and there's 4 of this board present, be sensitive to the fact that what you're engaged in could constitute a meeting. But the next slide does talk about the fact that if you end up at a chance gathering or a social gathering, that does not constitute a meeting. Now, happening to be there is the key there. So if someone says, hey guys, let's gather and convene and talk about official business, that would be a subversion of this provision, and it would rise to the level of becoming a meeting, and that would trigger responsibility. So, be sensitive to that, but also don't be so worried that you can't show up at chance gatherings or social gatherings. We've talked about a quorum, so we'll skip that slide. Okay. That's interesting, but not relevant to this body. So we'll continue on. As far as notice and agenda, I'll be brief here because Paul does an excellent job providing notice. Notice is simply the posting of an agenda in the proper place. Specifically, the public notice website requires 24 hours that the notice be posted. This body has complied with that historically, and that's not a problem. Importantly, the agenda has to be reasonably specific in terms of the items that will be covered by the meeting. And the purpose for that is to give notice to the public that if you have a dog in the fight, if you have skin in the game and you'd like to be aware, you'd like to be aware of what's happening within government, then the notice, the reasonably specific notice will tell that individual, look, you should show up at this meeting, and it gives them that 24-hour advance warning. So they can show up and be there. So if the body starts to veer into topics, especially when it comes to taking action, it can cause, it would be technically a violation because there wouldn't have been a reasonably specific agenda item on that particular topic. So it's important that actions are only taken in connection with the items listed on the agenda. So as you go through meetings, you can kind of keep an eye on what those agenda items are and ensure you're not taking votes outside of those. We can skip that. That's less relevant. In terms of records of open meetings, I'll be brief here, but Paul does a great job. Meeting minutes need to be taken. There are requirements for draft minutes need to be posted to the public notice website within 30 days of a meeting. The final minutes do not need to be posted until they've been approved in a subsequent meeting. Sometimes meetings are, as we know for this entity, sometimes meetings get pushed 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. That's okay. Sometimes there isn't a sufficient, sometimes folks haven't read the minutes and they don't pass them. That's okay, as long as when they are finally passed within 3 days, they're posted to the website. The final minutes are posted to the website. The key is to get the recording out there, which is required to be, all meetings must be recorded, and the recording has to be posted within 3 days. Again, we comply with these, but hopefully this is just helpful background for you. We'll skip the particular requirements for written minutes. And I've already covered how they both need to be posted to the public notice website. Electronic meetings are permitted when bodies have adopted a resolution allowing for electronic meetings. That link to the electronic meeting needs to be on the agenda so that members of the public can participate electronically when that's taking place. I will say just in passing, when I was talking about posting the agenda, there was actually a recent statutory change within this recent session, which no longer requires posting the agenda at the place of the meeting. That's a welcome change because so many meetings are virtual now, And additionally, people just weren't doing it. They just weren't putting it up at the location of the meeting. And so it's nice to that I won't have to continue to remind entities to post a physical paper agenda at an entrance or at the building, because that's no longer required for most entities. There are a few small exceptions that don't apply to this body. This is a reminder, this slide, that electronic message transmissions are not permitted you as board members are permitted to communicate electronically with one another. That's via text, it's via email. Now, there it says, and that's what this says, it says not restrict members of a public body from transmitting messages to other members of the public body. But the caveat is when the body is not in an open meeting. So it would not be appropriate during the convening of an open meeting, which is, for example, happening right now, it would not be appropriate to be texting other board members or emailing other board members simply because what's happening in the open meeting should be in the open and the issues should be discussed freely. I would sensitize you to times outside of meetings. In communicating via email, we talked earlier about how a meeting is when a public body, at a quorum of a public body, is present. So if there's an email to more than four or more members of this board, please note that substantive discussion, action, deliberation should not be taking place via email or text if there's four or more people, simply because that might rise to the definition of a public meeting, an electronically, text-based public meeting. So please be sensitive to that. And, coordinating, doing those sorts of things is certainly fine, but deliberating, taking action, voting should never take place electronically, particularly if you have four, it just can't when there are four or more in the case of this body. Next, Paul, next one. There is a provision for emergency meetings, which do not require 24-hour notice. That would be in the event of serious issues that need to be handled immediately or unlikely to happen. You are permitted to go into a closed session, or executive session is often what it's called. There is a misunderstanding at sometimes where people think you can schedule a closed meeting in the sense that there is no open meeting, just a closed meeting. That's not the case. There's all closed meetings, closed sessions, executive sessions always occur within the bounds of an open meeting. And they are typically on the agenda. It's not absolutely essential if it's necessary to call a closed meeting during to discuss an action item, an agenda item, that can take place spontaneously. It has to be in connection with a authorized statutory basis for closing the meeting. Most common is to discuss the character or professional competence of an individual. Also, other sensitive topics are permitted, for example, litigation kinds of things. I'll be sitting on the edge of my seat if you ever do go into closed session, because there are particular provisions that really require compliance. And this is where public bodies have gotten into trouble in the courts in the past. Next slide. We've talked a little bit about the reasons a meeting may be closed. You can just kind of scan through those for the next few seconds. Okay. Votes are not allowed during the closed session. It's only the discussion votes, and even, deliberating and saying, hey, I think I'm going to vote X, Y, Z is sensitive, and I would advise against it. It's really to just hash out the sensitive information fully and then leave the closed meeting, go into open session, take the vote. Particular slide talks about the reason I sit on the edge of my seat during a closed meeting. If you look at the final bullet point, it talks about how there is a potential criminal penalty a Class B misdemeanor in the event of a purposeful violation of the closed meeting provisions. Everything else just has civil, has connected to it civil penalties. And we'll go to the next slide and talk a little bit about that, which is, you know, who can take action. My office, the Attorney General's office, receives complaints and reports. And this is a good reminder to you folks who are elected officials that if you ever see problems, you can send it our way. We have a review committee and we often will reach out to entities and say, hey, you know, it looks like there's a problem here. And that 9 times out of 10 takes care of things. But the Attorney General's office does have the right to take legal, to file with the court a complaint that will enjoin compliance. And it can undo, it can void the action that was taken in violation of the Open and Public Meetings Act. The other thing to be sensitive to is that any member of the public who's aggrieved, which really, you know, is within a jurisdiction that could be pretty much anyone, can void final action. The way to remedy that, and that those complaints must be filed within 90 days of the action that was taken, alleged, you know, allegedly a violative action. And the way to cure a violation is to simply agendize the item that wasn't properly, that didn't properly comply with the statute, to agendize it, come together as a public body, deliberate and vote on it. And so it's relatively easy to cure, but it's important to comply with in the first instance to avoid all of the connected suffering when someone files an action. Please note that if someone's disruptive during a public meeting, it's okay to eject that individual from the meeting if orderly conduct is seriously compromised. Training is required once a year. It doesn't specify fiscal year or calendar year. That's what you're receiving right now. And I'm happy to shorten it next time. I've done 2-minute trainings. And so, you know, if it's all the same board and, you know, we can make sure that box is checked in whatever way the board deems fit. This just lists some common violations of OPMA. I think I've gone over all of them. And so I don't need to spend much time on this item. Some additional parting tips and helpful suggestions. I would just add, I'm your attorney in your capacity as a board member on this board, right? So feel free to reach out to me. I'll most often work through the chair and staff, but I do want you to feel comfortable reaching out to me if you have any questions about OPMA, or more likely questions relating to the Government Records Access and Management Act, GRAMA requests, conflicts of interest. I'll just say very briefly, if there's a conflict, disclose, right? You know, that you can't disclose, there's no penalty for disclosing too much, but there are some problems that can arise for not disclosing particular pieces of information. But regardless, don't hesitate to reach out to me individually or through the chair. I'm happy to provide any legal assistance you may require. So that's the end of the training. Hopefully it wasn't too painful, just moderately painful.
Well, thank you, Chris. I was going to say, not all OPMA trainings are created equal, and you do a great job. So thank you very much for that.
Are there any questions? No, you've been through enough.
I have. Thank you, Aaron. Are there any questions from the board for Chris regarding OPMA specifically? All right, I'm not hearing any. So if not, we will anxiously wait for next year's training so we can do it again. But thanks so much again for being here. All right, with that, we will move on to item number 5 on our agenda, project applications. And so it looks like we have 3 items to discuss today. Specifically. So Paul, why don't we go ahead and start with 5A, and then after you kind of give us an introduction, if the applicants or anyone on the board wants to add any commentary to the specifics before we vote on it, that would be great as well. So go ahead, Paul.
All right. So 5A is a request from the Ute Tribe for their current balance to be applied to, it's for home rehabilitation, repairs, improvements. for members of the Ute tribe, elder tribal elders and members. And this is a question maybe for Councilman Wapsuck or Sakakaku, that it seems like it is an extension of the previous contract that was approved last, let's see, it was a while back, but that we have a contract in process for that. If that's correct, which I believe it is, then we can just add this onto that contract. And so you guys can just use that. Just we have one contract, would be a lot simpler for everybody, I think.
Yeah, do either of our representatives from the Ute tribe have any comments they'd like to add to that or to clarify Paul's question?
Yeah, we can go ahead and extend that. You know, we'll be used the same way as the letter I sent out to explain that breakdown of how it will be used.
Yep. Perfect. Okay.
All right, great. Well, so it sounds like this is more of just an extension or adding on and expanding a previously approved contract. Are there any other questions from the board regarding this item? If not, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion that we fund a project as requested for the remaining balance of $3,578,763.57.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that motion, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on this item? All right, if not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, any opposed?
Aye. Aye.
All right, it appears to be unanimous. Thanks so much, and thank you for getting in those resolutions as well with these. That's very helpful to see the support of the council. So, all right, with that, let's go ahead and move on to item 5B.
All right, 5B is from Yuna County, chip seal machine, a combination sprayer spreader truck for $515,000.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and let our Scott Hardman with the road department kind of explain the truck, just a little about it and the needs, if you want.
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. So this truck is an all-in-one inclusive chip seal truck that will actually put down the asphalt emulsion base and add the rock to it and then spray over the top of it. This machine is not designed for large projects rather than just the smaller projects when we go out and do a road repair. Currently, our road repairs trying to get with get the special service district to break out and for these companies to come to a small section of road. They just don't want to do it, and it's too expensive. Duchesne County has also purchased one of these trucks, and I've talked to Ben several times, but contacted him again the other day and talked to him a little bit more about it. He said he figures this truck pays for itself in easily 2 years. So a very valuable unit. There's only one company out there that makes it, but it's a very valuable piece of equipment, I think, that the Yuna County could benefit from.
All right. I appreciate that additional information. Are there any questions from the board?
All right. Not so much a question, Mr. Chair. I just say that we have had great success with the truck that we purchased, and it's given us flexibility on some of the smaller volume roads, and we can do those projects, you know, at our availability as a county crew. And you know, we're about 11 and a half years behind on pavement preservation projects in Duchesne County, and this is a step in the right direction to help us maintain roads, and I think it's a very, very good useful tool for counties to have. And Duchesne County is the first county in the state to have one of these trucks, and Yuna County will be the second. And I just think it's a big step in the right direction.
Great, appreciate that commentary. And then as I understand it, this would be of course an eligible use of the fund. Paul, no concerns there? Okay. Yep. That's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure. All right. Well, any other questions then? All right, if not, we can go ahead and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the request. Ron Wopsock.
Mr. Wopsock, with a motion, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All right, we have a second. Commissioner Miles, any discussion to the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, hearing none, it appears to be unanimous. All right, well, thank you so much. Moving on to 5C, the expired contracts.
All right, so these are some contracts that have expired between our last meeting and this meeting. There's, six of them here, I think? Yeah. And I was actually, Ed Currip was in contact with me after the things posted. So I was going to hopefully get some direction from board members that are here. But typically, if it's expired after this meeting, we would have reverted that those remaining balances back to the in this case, it would have been back to the Ute Tribe's unallocated balance. But he requested that we extend, we extend this 16-1576. There's a handful of projects there that you could see, housing, 50th powwow, scoreboard, jerseys. There's 29,272 left on that. He requested that be extended. And the grant here, or sorry, the contract here, 17-2014 for emergency management equipment, that be extended. And then also the grant 18-1326 be extended as well. That one for rehabilitation. It's for homes and road base and driveways. The other three he said were completed. There's only a small balances on each of them. And then that money can be given back to the unallocated balance for the Ute Tribe.
Okay. Yeah, that was going to be my question on some of those with a really small balance. So I'm glad you clarified that up front. Are there any other questions from the board members about these extensions?
Nope.
All right. Yeah. Seeing as it's just those three project descriptions are fairly clear, I would be open to entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we go ahead and approve this two-year contract as stated, or do you need me to read in the numbers?
As presented is probably good.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And do I hear a second?
I'll second the motion.
All right. We have a motion on the table. Is there any discussion to that motion? All right. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? All right. Hearing none, it appears to be unanimous. Thanks so much to everyone for getting those projects and the information in to our staff so we could get those done today. Very helpful. And Paul, thanks for your work in getting those put together so we have the information before us. All right. We will move on now to item number six, the status of contracts. Paul, do you want to just walk us through that?
Yeah, this is just a heads up. We have two more contracts expiring. It might expire before the next meeting, depending on when that happens. So I just wanted to give the board a heads up that to think about if these are going to be extended or reverted. So it's okay. Do you want me to read these at all, or it's in the packet? It's on the agenda.
Yeah, so it looks like there's a waterline infrastructure for housing developments, and then we have the EMS monitors and defibrillators.
Yeah, there's
a lot of other things with with that contract. So I won't go through every single one of them, but no, I appreciate that. And I know at our last meeting, that was very helpful for the projects that we were extending today to have that heads up. And I know that was in the minutes that we were going to go through and approve those. And so I appreciate the heads up. And it looks like these are both with the Ute Tribe. So our board members can take those back and make sure we get those on the agenda for our next meeting, assuming that those will need to be extended. All right. So item 6B, proposed schedule of meetings. And so it looks like, Paul, you're anticipating we probably won't have enough business to complete until our July meeting.
Yeah, I'm aware of Duchesne County has, there's a project in the works, I believe, from them. But whether when it comes to fruition or not, I don't know. That's the only one I was aware of. But just because this one, we kind of pushed this one out until here, you know, almost April. That was just my suggestion, is that maybe we think about not having that May meeting and then meeting again in July, but it's totally open. I mean, we could have one whenever the board desires.
Okay. So noting the staff's preference and suggestion, any concerns from the board about pushing that next meeting out until July? Is there something else we would prefer to do as far as having an earlier meeting than that?
I have no problem with go ahead and doing it that way. And if there's, of course, you guys have been so accommodating when we've had things come up to add a new meeting, you know, so, but no, I think that looks fine for me.
Okay. I'm not hearing any concerns. So with that said, does the July 13th date look like it will work for this group? If possible, I would like to get our next meeting in person, just so we can get to know each other a little bit better on the board. It's great having Zoom as a tool, and it makes it much more efficient, but also good to touch base in person occasionally. So if that date works for everyone, we can plan on that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if you would like, I like that idea, and we would sure host and provide a lunch if you guys want.
Yeah, that'd be great. Wonderful. So no concerns with the 13th as far as availability? Yeah. All right. Let's plan on it.
Let's maybe kind of plan on around lunchtime a little bit or something like that. Would that, does that work with everybody's time frame a little better or not? Or what's everybody's opinion? If we're going to have lunch, we'll be glad to provide lunch and have it there and make a little social event out of it. And maybe at a local restaurant here, but or whatever we need to do, or we're game for anything, but we'd sure love to host you.
I think it is wonderful. Your turn, Brad.
Okay. I knew that was coming up. But time frame, what works kind of best for everybody?
I might open that day, and with travel, it'll probably take the whole day anyway. So, but yeah, I think either right before the lunch hour or right after, so we can plan it around lunch, that would be great.
All right, we will get back in touch with you and kind of get some plans put together and ideas.
All right. Well, wonderful. We'll look forward to it. And again, appreciate that offer.
You bet.
All right. Well, with that concludes our agenda for the meeting. So I will, again, thank everyone for attending. I really appreciate your involvement and participation. And I'll look for one final motion.
And before you do, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to commend the tribe on, and Uinta County both, on their projects. I think, you know, they really meet the need and the reason for this revitalization money that's coming back to our communities. And I think the Ute tribe, especially in doing rehab housing, I'm involved in rehab housing approval on Uinta Basin Association of Governments, and it's been a touching experience to be involved in those, and to see how the money's used and how it benefits individuals who are in desperate need. And so I just appreciate their good project and commend them for their good work.
I concur that those are good projects.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Thanks so much for those comments.
And also, if I may, for let everybody's FYI, this will probably be my last meeting. My term will be ending in May, and I'm not seeking re-election. So it's been a pleasure sitting on this board with you gentlemen, and I wish you all the best. The work you do is excellent for this Uinta Basin. As was mentioned, you know, we contribute quite a bit to the economy here, and that's what it's all about. We appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, and saying that, Ed, Councilman Ed, I'd sure like to, if you feel inclined to have you come to our lunch meeting, or at least have lunch with us if you feel inclined to.
Oh, I never turn down a lunch. You know that, Brad.
All right. Well, let's make sure we get him on the invited list, because we could, I guess we could call it a little bit of a going away party tour, I guess, maybe, but sure love to have you.
Yeah, that'd be great. And thank you so much for your service. As has been mentioned, these projects don't just come up by themselves. We have to have the involvement of the leaders in the community. So thanks so much for your service and for being here with us today. We really appreciate that and look forward to seeing you at the next meeting anyway.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councilman Wapsock.
Evan, before you end this meeting today, this is Laurie.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? On the one on the 26th, of course, by then you'll know your new funding amounts for the next year. And that's the same day as we have our UBAG board meeting. That one will be held in Duchesne. And we have our holiday luncheon. So, of course, I told Paul, we'll be glad to host it at any time, but I'll let Commissioner Horrocks take this one, and then I'll give him a bad time, see? Not that he gives me a bad time ever, but anyway. On that one, of course, we would have lunch approximately around 12 o'clock and then have the revitalization start about 1:15. But everybody is invited to come to that all the way around, even if you want to have some of your Salt Lake staff come out to it. As well as Ed, if you'd still like to come to it, you're welcome, Ed, because we do appreciate all you've done.
If I'm available and the good Lord keeps me hanging around, you betcha.
Okay, you got a deal.
Well, wonderful. Thanks so much, Laurie. That would be great. We'll look forward to it. All right. Anything else?
I just.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I have an FYI, too. You know, I'm up for re-election, and I am going to try to run again, so we'll see what happens. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I appreciate you filling us in on that, and best of luck to you. And yeah, keep us posted.
Ron, good luck in your reelection, and the best of wishes to you.
Yeah. Is there anything we could do? Is there anything we can do to help you, Ron?
Well, I'm out campaigning, so that's what I'm doing. So anyway, We'll see what happens.
Well, Councilman Wapsock, we'll keep your family in our prayers. Understand you've had a rough time, and we'll pray that things look up for your family's health.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else? All right. Well, again, thanks so much, everybody, for your participation. We really do appreciate it. And I really appreciate this board and everything that you're doing. So now I will entertain one final motion.
I will make that motion, Mr. Chairman, that we adjourn.
All right. It's been moved to adjourn. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We stand adjourned. Hey, thanks so much, everybody. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.